Is your past an enemy? Does it torment you? Do you live with if onlys? If only I hadn't. I wish I had never done this. If only they hadn't done this to me. Are you living as a victim of the past? Oh, beloved, I have good news for you. I've got good news for you. You can clear away your past and you can step into the future if you only understand the truth of the new covenant. To what many believe is the crown jewel of the message of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is talking to a people that have failed and failed and failed. Jeremiah is talking to a people on the brink of the judgment of God. And yet in Jeremiah chapter 30 and chapter 31, Jeremiah is instructed to sit down and to write in a book the following. When he writes in this book, what he writes about is the new covenant. This is what we're going to look at today. This is where we've been headed all this week, to this glorious pinnacle of truth. A truth that, beloved, if you will grasp it, if you will hang on to it, the past won't matter, because you will be set for the future. In Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, "Behold, days are coming," verse 27, declares the Lord, "when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. As I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant." In other words, I have been judging them. I have been judging them. I have had to deal with them. But now I am going to build. Now I'm going to plant. What is he going to build on? What truth is he going to build on? How is he going to plant? And what kind of soil is he going to plant? Now, you have to remember, all of this should take you back to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I know that was a long time ago. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord comes to Jeremiah. And he tells him that he is not to say he's a youth, but he is to go and he is to speak everything that the Lord commands him. And then this is what he says. See, verse 10, "I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And so as he comes to Israel, now what he's saying is God has broken down, God is uprooted, God has destroyed. But now this is what God is going to do. He's going to build and he is going to plant. In other words, there is a future. In other words, there is a hope. There is a future and there's a hope despite your past. How is he going to do that? Because he's a righteous God. We know that he had to judge their sin. We know that he wounded them because of their sin. So now watch what he says. He says, "In those days, they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." In other words, we are a victim of what our fathers have done. They're not going to say that anymore. "For everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge." Behold, and here it is. I almost feel like we ought to bow. I almost feel like, and we have prayed for you. We pray before we do television, before we do radio, before we do internet. We are praying for you. So listen to what he says. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In other words, this is something that I'm going to do in the future. And it's not just for Judah. I love Ephraim also. It is for the house of Israel and it is for the house of Judah. And remember, what we've seen this week is that these two kingdoms will again become one. So he's saying days are coming when I will make a new covenant. Now, if you downloaded your free study guide by going to preceptsforlife.com or picking up the phone and calling 1-800-763-1990, that's 1-800-763-1990. If you went online, then you could get a study guide. And we told you that one of the most important words in the Bible is the word covenant. Because a covenant is a solemn binding agreement. It's made by walking through pieces of flesh. In other words, they take an animal, they cut it in half, they lay it one side opposite the other, and then those entering into the covenant come down, and in a figure eight, they walk through the pieces of flesh. You see him mentioning it in Jeremiah. You see him mentioning it in Genesis. And so this is a solemn binding agreement. To make a covenant means to cut a covenant. It's karath bereath. And so he's saying, I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant. So you would mark new covenant. You would mark covenant. And I call her covenant because it involves the sacrifice of blood usually. And so I color it red and then I put yellow around it because God is the sovereign administrator. He watches over every covenant that is made because he's a covenant keeping God. The Old Testament is the old covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant. So he says, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. In other words, when God went to get his people, his firstborn, Israel, and say to Pharaoh, let my firstborn go, let my son go. He went in to get them out of the land of Egypt. He took them to Mount Sinai. And there at Mount Sinai in Arabia, what he did was he gave them the commandments. He gave them the statutes, the laws by which they were to live by. And when he gave them that, he called them into a covenant. And they said, everything that the Lord says, we will do. We will be obedient. And that was the condition of the covenant. But he says, I'm not going to make a covenant with them like the covenant that I made with them when I took them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, they disobeyed. You find them making a golden calf, having Aaron make a golden calf, and you find them worshiping that golden calf and bowing down, and that's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image of any likeness in the heavens above, in the earth beneath, or under the earth. You shall not worship them nor bow down to them, for I am the Lord your God. I am Kana. My name is Jealous, and you're not to have any idols. Well, they broke that. And so then he says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. This is yet future. I will put my law, remember the law, was written on tablets of stone. I'm sure you saw the movie, The Ten Commandments. If not, rent it, buy it, watch it. And you see, like lightning coming down in the finger of God, writing on the tablets of stone. So he says, the new covenant, though, will not be written on tablets of stone. He says, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And then he goes on to say, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, he's already said this. He said it in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 22. You shall be my people. I will be your God. He said it in Jeremiah 31, 1. I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. So he's already said it. But now he's saying, under the old covenant, I put my law on tablets of stone, and you broke it. You broke it. But there is a day coming, and it wasn't that day. It wasn't in the time of Jeremiah. It wasn't in the days of the destruction of Jerusalem that was about to come on them in 586 BC. But this is the covenant that I will make with them. And then he tells us what it is. Listen to what he says. He says, they will not teach again, each man his neighbor, each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, know the Lord. They won't come over and say, hey, 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 know the Lord. He says, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Now, he's speaking about Israel. He's speaking about Judah. He's speaking about the Jews. He says, declares the Lord, for I, listen carefully, I will forgive their iniquity. All that they did in the past, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. It won't be brought up. It won't be rehearsed. Your mind may take you to rehearse your sins and your past and all your failures, but God says, oh no, I will remember your sin no more. I will forgive your sin. Now, what is he talking about? Well, do you remember our drawing that we've been making all week long? Do you remember our timeline? What is he pointing to? He's pointing to Jesus. He's pointing to Jesus hanging on the cross. And when the Jews that are the disciples are in the upper room and Jesus is getting ready to be arrested and taken and crucified, he sits with them celebrating the Passover meal. He lifts the cup and this is what he said. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Oh, beloved, I am so excited to be teaching you about the new covenant. And I want you to know we're going to learn more in the next week also. But the new covenant is a covenant that gives you forgiveness of sins. Listen to Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is in the upper room, and they were having this Passover meal. And it says, and he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup, he gave thanks to that, and he said to them, drink from it, all of you. Drink from it, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Now listen, for forgiveness of sins. See, under the old covenant, every year, year after year after year, on the Day of Atonement, there was a remembrance of sins. There was a remembrance of their failures before God. And so what we find in Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus is saying, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So a body thou hast prepared for me. Then it says, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. In other words, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way through the book of Malachi, all the Old Testament testifies of me. And when you get to Jeremiah, the pinnacle of Jeremiah is the fact that there is a new covenant coming that is not like the old covenant. This new covenant gives you forgiveness of sins. This new covenant makes you a child of God. It makes God your Father, God your God. And so he's saying in Hebrews chapter 10, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And then he says, I come to do thy will, O God. I have come because it is the time for the new covenant. It is the time of the last days. I was born as a sinless human being because I was born of a virgin. I did not have the seed of Adam in me. I had the seed of God. I am a son of God. I was tempted in all points as you are, but I never sinned. I never yielded to sin. And so when my hour came, and his hour has come now for his blood to be shed for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus was taken out. He was crucified. Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for you and for me. He paid for our sins. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so when he hangs on that cross, God takes your sins, God takes my sins, God takes the sins of the whole world, and he places them on Jesus. And Jesus pays for them. Jesus dies. The wages of sin is death. He dies. He is in the grave for 3 days. And after that, he is raised from the dead, signifying that God is propitiated. It's a big word, but it means God's holiness is satisfied. He's saying, you paid for the sins. And because you did, I can raise you from the dead and you will never die again. Death has been conquered. The devil has been defeated, because what gives the devil his power over you, and Hebrews 2 tells you this, but what gives the devil the power over you is because of your sin. And the wages of sin is death. But if Jesus pays for your sin, then Satan no longer has the power of death over you, but you have passed from death to life. You have forgiveness of sins. So in Hebrews chapter 10, this is what he says, and I want you to hear it. I've quoted you a lot of Hebrews, but I want you, Hebrews 10, but I want you to hear this. This is what he says. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which cannot take away sins. That's under the old covenant. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. Now watch, has sat down. His work is finished. He has sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made his footstool. Now, his enemies are going to be made his footstool during this time of Jacob's distress, during this time of the tribulation, during the last 7 years. There is going to be all sorts of judgments on this earth. In the last 3.5 years, you're going to have great tribulation when God pours out his wrath on the earth, and all the kingdoms of this earth are brought into subjection under Jesus Christ. So he's going to leave heaven, and he is going to come down, and a two-edged sword is going to come out of his mouth, which is the word of God, which will smite the nations, and then he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there will be no other. So this is what he's saying. He's saying his enemies will become a footstool for his feet. For by one, and if you don't get anything else, get this. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time. Now listen, those who are being sanctified. What is he saying? Hey, you're not all that you should be yet. You're in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. More holy, more holy, more holy. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But he did it through one sacrifice for sin for all time. One sacrifice for sin for all time. Now listen, that's why you don't live with the regrets of your past. Your past is past. Let me ask you a question. Can you change the past? Can you do anything about the past? No, you can't. The past is past. And the past is not to define you. Who you are in Christ because of the new covenant defines you, describes you, and determines your destiny, and your destiny is heaven. Now look, he came to his own, to the Jews, and the Jews received him not. They won't realize this new covenant. They're not going to realize this until just before Jesus or at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here's the first coming, when the new covenant is inaugurated. Here is the second coming, when Israel is saved, when Israel will look unto him whom they have pierced, when they will believe in him. And Zechariah says that they, a nation, will be saved in one day. This is going to happen. Why? Because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. A deliverer will come from Zion, from heaven, and will remove the sins of Israel, will remove the sins of Judah. A deliverer will come from Zion. This is the promise of Romans 11. He says, all Israel will be saved. A deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. He's going to take away Israel's sins. And if you'll believe on Jesus Christ, he'll take away your sins. That's the promise of the new covenant.
Do you love K. Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Oh, beloved, do you understand the new covenant? Do you understand how awesome this is? Do you understand that every time your mind wants to take you to those deep, dark recesses and rehash your past and rehash your failures and that, you need to take every thought captive. You need to come over here to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you need to say, this is where I was redeemed. This is where I received forgiveness of sins. This is where I was promised that God would be my God and I would be His child. Precious one, everything in life goes back to this one singular act of history. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that takes away your sins and that guarantees you, precious one, that you are going to live forever and ever in the presence of God. It's what takes you into past even the millennial reign into the new heaven and the new earth and makes you part of the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. That's your home because of the new covenant. So are you mourning now? Are you weeping now? Are you weighed down with the memories of the past, with things that people have done to you or you have done? Stop it. Put it away in faith and embrace truth. And know this, in Romans 8 verse 1, he says, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the old covenant, from the law of sin and death. Your sins have been forgiven. Every time something starts to haunt you and you start to feel like a failure, hey, remember this. God has forgiven you. He's your God. You're His child. Now live like it. Act like it. Believe Him. Cling to Him as the waistband clings to the waist of a man. And He will make you a man, a woman, for praise and renown and honor and glory at His appearing.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.